By way of introduction, as we think about the word joy, and we read other verses of Scripture in the Bible, and we'll turn to other verses of the Bible, so have your Bible handy today, we find overwhelmingly that the subject of joy is not something that we can choose whether or not we want to have it. It's a command. Philippians 4 and 4, Paul said, many of you know the verse from memory, what did he say? He said, rejoice in the Lord always. Always. Let's think about this. Rejoice in the Lord always. There's no time in our life where we can say, this is the time that I don't need to rejoice. Now, there are many things in your life and my life that would definitely cause us to struggle with rejoicing. However, that is no excuse for a Christian. As a Christian, you were given, and I have been given, the Holy Spirit of God. The very moment that I got saved, I was given the Holy Spirit of God. Who produces this fruit in our life? The Holy Spirit. And it's not me. I can't produce love in my life. I can't produce joy in my life. But the Holy Spirit of God can do an amazing job at producing the fruit of the Spirit, this one today, of joy. Now think about this. Christians are commanded to have joy. Now I've heard this said, with every command, God provides what we need to be able to fulfill that command. With every command, there comes the provision of God to be able to have, in this case, joy. Hold your finger there in Galatians chapter 5 and turn over with me into the Old Testament book of Nehemiah. Nehemiah. 1 and 2 Chronicles, Ezra, Nehemiah. Turn with me to Nehemiah in chapter number 8. Nehemiah in chapter number 8. Verse number 10. Basically, the context of Nehemiah chapter 8 is that they have found the missing Word of God. It has been missing for some time. They have found the Word of God. And at the beginning of the chapter, you see there, verse number 1, I don't want to get to 10, but just so you see this. And all the people gathered themselves together as one man into the street that was before the water gate. And they spake unto Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses. Bring us the scriptures. Amen? Amen. And by the way, we as Christians today need to say we want to hear the Word of God. We don't want to hear personality. We don't want to hear, yes, God speaks through a man, but we want to hear the Word of God. And they said to Ezra, give us the Word of God. And it says in verse number 2, and Ezra the priest brought the law before the congregation. Verse number 3, and he read therein before the street that was before the water gate from the morning until the midday. And at the end of verse 3, the ears of all the people were attentive unto the book of the law. And so we don't have time, but that's kind of what's happening here. But let's skip over, if you would, at verse number 10. Then he said unto them, go your way. Eat the fat, drink the sweet, and send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy unto our Lord. Neither be ye sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Let's read that last phrase together. Ready? For the joy of the Lord is your strength. One more time. For the joy of the Lord is your strength. You might have come in today and everything on the outside looks picture perfect. But on the inside, you are falling apart. The joy of the Lord is your strength. You might have everything. We might think everything is okay. But on the inside, today, you have come to church and there's turmoil in some area of your life. For the joy of the Lord is your strength. I wrote some notes in my Bible. Joy in the Lord is the natural result of Christian faith. Joy in the Lord is the natural result of Christian faith. We talked about that in Sunday school this morning in my class, that when we say we're a Christian, what are we saying when we tell somebody, I'm a Christian? Think about those words. You've maybe said those before. I'm a Christian. One byproduct of being a Christian is what we're talking about this afternoon. Joy in the Lord. I wrote this down. Number two, joy in the Lord is a matter of Christian duty. It is a matter of Christian duty. In other words, it is not an option to be considered. By the way, joy cannot be affected by circumstances. There's another word for that. What do we call that word?
Happiness.
Happiness. Everything in life that is circumstantial will control my happiness, but not my joy. Thirdly, I wrote this down. Joy in the Lord is a source of strength. And we just read that here just a few moments ago. As we go back now into the New Testament book of Galatians, just several things. In the New Testament, we find the word joy about 60 times. And we find the word rejoice 72 times. And you add those two together, and you do the math, that's 132 approximate times that we hear the word joy or rejoice. I found this to be interesting. The Greek word for joy is chara, C-H-A-R-A, and the Greek word for grace, by the way, you cannot experience joy unless you first experienced grace. You cannot, there is nobody here today, if you're not saved today, you cannot have biblical joy. It's impossible. You can be very happy. You can be glad, but you can't have that joy. Why? It's a fruit of the Spirit. Before you can experience you have to experience charis. Charis is the Greek word for grace. They're so similar and so close together, it's amazing how God does these things. If I know God's grace, then I will experience His joy, because joy is produced by the Holy Spirit of God. Romans chapter 14, verse number 17. I'll read this to you. You may turn there if you like. The Bible says, "For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace." You know what the next one is? "And joy in the Holy Ghost." Where do we find the joy? In the Holy Ghost. In the Holy Spirit. This joy can only be produced by the Holy Spirit of God. So I cannot know God's joy unless I know God's grace. So quickly, let's go into our outline here for this lesson on a new way to walk in joy. Number one, what are the reasons for our joy? Quickly, let's go to Romans chapter 15. Romans chapter 15. We're going to do a lot through the Bible today. It's God's Word that will help you the most as we think about the subject of joy. The reasons for our joy. Firstly, we see in Romans chapter 15, verse number 13, the Bible says, "Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in what?" Believing. Believing. That's the key word here. "That ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost." The reason for our joy, number one, under that, joy comes as a result of believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. Think about it today. If you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, that means you are saved. I don't know what else you need to hear to have joy, to recognize the fact that your sins are forgiven, heaven is your home, God is your Father, Jesus is your Savior, the Holy Spirit is indwelling you today, you have the Word of God, you have a church to be a part of, but all of this is secondary compared to the salvation that God and God alone can give us this afternoon. I have joy today because I'm saved. I have joy today because God loves me. Can you hear those words? Would you say those words? Would you say exactly like I did? God loves me. Ready? God loves me. There's really nothing else really that you need to hear. We're not going to pray for home yet. God loves me. Doesn't matter who you are or what we have done. Yes, God wants us to live for His honor and glory, but God loves me. And the Bible says in Romans, in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 8, "Whom having not seen, ye love, in whom though ye see now see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice
with joy unspeakable and full of glory.
Think about the love of God. There's nothing that we can put the love of God into words today. It's just the fact today that God loves us. Would you turn to Luke's Gospel, chapter number 10? We joy today. The reasons for our joy, number one, is that joy is the result of salvation. You may have come to church today, and if I were to ask you, do you know for sure if you died today that you would go to heaven? You say, well, I hope so. 50-50 chance. I wouldn't want to gamble on heaven or on like that. You say, well, I've been a good boy, I've been a good girl. I'm a church member. I help people. None of those things are what the Bible says that we need to have in order to go to heaven when we die. Look what it says, if you will, with me in Luke chapter number 10 and verse number 20. It says, notwithstanding, in this rejoice not, that the spirits are subject unto you. In other words, you can cast out a demon. Don't get too overly excited about that. But what does he say to rejoice in? It's written right there. But rather, rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Think about that this afternoon. If you got saved, if you can go back to a time, a place in your life where you recognize that you were a sinner. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible says in Romans 3:10, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. And we recognize that that sin has separated us from God. God being completely holy, cannot allow sin into His presence, and yet, because He loves us, He sent Jesus Christ to be the propitiation, to be the payment, to be the substitute for our sin. And the reason that He died on the old rugged cross 2,000 years ago was so that my sin debt could be paid, so that your sin debt could be paid, so that my name could be written down in the Lamb's Book of Life in the blood of Christ that cannot be erased, that cannot be taken out. And so the Bible says here, don't rejoice in all of these peripheral things, but rejoice in this, that you know the Lord Jesus Christ is your Savior. I ask you today, don't answer it out loud, but answer it in your heart. I don't know your heart, but God does. If you were to die today, do you know you'd be in heaven? If not, you can get saved today. You can trust Christ today. I would encourage you, don't wait. The joy of the Lord can be your strength. So why do we have this joy of the Lord? Joy is the result of salvation. And secondly, we won't really talk about it because we already have. Secondly, joy is the fruit of the Spirit. Joy is the fruit of the Spirit. Now, because joy is something so important and God wants us to have it, I can tell you this. The devil doesn't want you to have it. So there are enemies of joy. Number two, there are enemies of joy. Number one, we said the reasons for joy. The reasons for joy. Because we're saved. Amen? We're saved. That's a reason to have joy. And because joy is a fruit of the Spirit. But we find number two, there are enemies to joy. In spite of the Holy Spirit working in my life, there are aspects of my life that are continually resisting the joy of the Lord, that are hindering the joy of the Lord. And by the way, these enemies that we're going to look at today are going to rob you of joy. Mark it down. If the Lord hits your bone today, whatever bone I'm talking about, and the Lord hits it, then you need to do business with the Lord. But these are things, several things the Lord laid on my heart that will take joy away immediately. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter number 12. Hebrews chapter number 12. The enemies of joy. And there's more than I'm going to give you. These enemies will rob me of my joy. They will rob you of your joy. They will hinder me from having the joy of the Lord. By the way, we don't have to be under the grip of these enemies of joy. But I will say, probably at least one, if not more, will apply to you. The reason why I say that is because they've applied to me before. We're no different. We're made of the same skin. We have the same temptations. We have varied temptations, but we have the same enemy. He wants to destroy us.
He wants to rob the pastor of his joy. He wants to rob you of your joy. It matters not. You have enemies of joy, they abound. But so let's recognize maybe what is your enemy if we cover, and if we don't, pray that the Lord reveals it. Here it is. Hebrews 12:15. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God. Lest any root of, what's the next word?
Bitterness.
Bitterness. That's the first enemy of joy that we're going to talk about. Bitterness. Springing up, trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. I'd like you to turn with me to the Old Testament book of Deuteronomy. In Deuteronomy chapter 29. I submit to you this afternoon that if you have a root of bitterness in your life, right now, if that root is already growing and starting to bloom and bloom, I can tell you right now, you're not going to have joy. Impossible. It'll come and it'll go. Why? Because you will always, it doesn't matter how much joy God wants to create in you, that bitterness is going to spring up. I want you to look at a couple of texts that God showed me. Maybe you've seen these before. I don't know that I've seen them actually like this before. Look at Deuteronomy 29:18. Lest there should be among you man or woman or family or tribe whose heart turneth away this day from the Lord our God. By the way, when you are bitter, and when I am bitter, my heart is turned away from God. There's no way that I'm right with God if I have a bitterness in my life. No way. I would just encourage you today, if that's what you needed to hear, thank you for coming. Let the Lord take that root of bitterness and dig it right out of your life and never replant bitterness again.
Yeah.
It'll destroy you. Yeah. It destroys the container that's held in. Let's keep reading it. To go and serve the gods of these nations. So he's saying that there's people among you that their heart turns away from God and they go and serve pagan gods. Small g, you see it there? Lest there should be among you a root that beareth, what's the next word?
Gall.
That is bitterness. That is poisonous. We're going to go to another verse in a minute. That beareth gall and wormwood. It's the same context. Lest there be a root that beareth bitterness. That is poisonous. Turn quickly to Acts chapter 8. The first enemy of joy is bitterness. Acts chapter 8, please. Acts chapter 8. Miracles had just occurred. Earlier on in chapter 8, you can read that, through the ministry of Philip. God was doing great works. For time's sake, we'll continue on though. But there was a man there that witnessed these works. And his name was Simon. You see that in verse 18. He basically said, I want to be able to do that. Here's some money. Basically, I want to be able to buy the ability to do what you just did. It's kind of the context here. And Peter says to him there, verse 20, kind of challenges him a little bit and really preaches to him, verse 22. Notice what he says to Simon in verse 23. He says, for I perceive that thou art in the gall. There it is again. The gall. The word gall here is talking about a yellowish, and I'm sorry, hopefully you're not eating right away. It refers to a yellowish green bile that comes from the liver. It's not something that you would want to taste at any time. It's very bitter. It would be a flavor that you would never forget. Let's just say that. I've never tried it, but from what I was reading, okay? I've tried some other things that I never will forget what they taste like either on these trips that God But, no, he says, I perceive that thou art in the gall of bitterness. And notice what he says, and in the bond of iniquity. They go hand in hand, don't they?
Yes.
I perceive that you are in the gall. I perceive that you are in the bile, the yellowish green substance that comes from the liver, that is nasty, that is bitter, that no one would want to have any part of. And I also notice that because of that, you're bound in iniquity. Bitterness is going to be a great hinderer, a great enemy, a great robber, a great taker, if you will, of joy. I wonder today, could there be some in our room today? Could there be some here today that are still having difficulties with something that happened in your life? Yes, it was wrong. Whatever it was that happened was wrong. You know, I tell people when they share things with me, I do want to empathize with people, and I can't say I understand many times unless I've been through that. Do you know where my eyes like to go when I start to feel a little bit bitter about something? Right to the cross. You know that Jesus was sinless, and he died for a sinner, me. If anybody should be bitter, it should be him.
Yeah.
He didn't deserve to be spat upon by those who he would die for. He didn't deserve to be beat with a cat of nine tails by those who would do that. He didn't deserve to be smacked in the face by those. He didn't deserve any of that. But he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And many of us in this room today have a story that we could tell that it is difficult to tell. It's not something that we want to think of. But don't allow the enemy to have that story be even more magnified by the bitterness that is in you today, that yellowish green bile. By the way, it affects everybody else around you too.
Yeah.
It affects everybody else around me when I'm bitter. And it robs us of our joy. Secondly, we see that there is another enemy of joy. And it is the enemy of suffering. The enemy of suffering. I can avoid bitterness if I let God's grace help me to forgive someone. By the way, Ephesians 4:32 is still in the Bible. It says to forgive as Christ hath forgiven us. Be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another. That's the solution for bitterness. Even as God for Christ's sake. By God's grace, you can overcome bitterness. By God's grace, you can overcome that yellowish green bile. By God's grace, you can't forgive. We can't forgive. On another level, though, I have to say that suffering comes to everyone and we have no control over that. Recently, a family in the United States, their pastor and I went to the same Bible college. He pastors just in the Kentucky area near Cincinnati, Ohio. And just a couple, early on in July, a family in the church there named the Henry family. Husband, wife, three children. Their home caught on fire. And in the process of that fire, the dad and the mom and the two older kids got out, but the youngest child was killed in that fire. Days would go on, and mom and dad the dad was hurt the least. A few days went by, and one of the other children died in the hospital. Two children dead, one child left. Just about a week ago, the last child died in the hospital. This dear family lost their home and all three children in the fire. It kind of reminded me of the man in the Bible that we think of and read many times. When we think of suffering, we think of a man by the name of Job. Yesterday, their funeral for these three kids, all three kids had a funeral at the same time. It was on Facebook Live, and there was three caskets on there. I could never even imagine this. Three caskets on the platform. They were
all three of them, a little bit different signs. There was a video done of the mom in the hospital. She had a tube coming out of her nose at one point, and she was greatly hurt on the outside, but she was praising God in this video. Singing and praising the Lord, crying, praising the Lord. Suffering is very hard. Suffering is very hard to come through and say, well, I still have joy. There's no one here that today would say, well, it's easy to suffer. No, it's not. You know what? God's still good. God's still right. God is still holy. God is still just. Why God allows and does the things that He does. He is sovereign. He is good. He is right. And I cannot allow suffering even to come into my life and rob me of my joy. When I abide in Christ through suffering, I find that suffering, which is the resistor of joy, actually works to further my joy. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse number 6, wherein ye greatly rejoice. Though now for a season, if need be, you're in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire. And I read that verse and I thought, what does that mean? Though it be tried with fire, that's a literal illustration to this dear Henry. Might be found in praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Whom having not seen, ye love, and whom though now ye see Him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Bitterness can rob us of our joy. I would encourage you this afternoon, if you're holding on to bitterness, please, during the invitation time, I know we don't really have any place to really kneel up here. We've got some front row seats that are available. When that music's going to play in just a few minutes around invitation, maybe you need to come down here, kneel in one of these chairs, sit in one of these chairs, and just say, God, I need to confess my bitterness. Let God's Holy Spirit rinse you clean of that life. Possibly some of us here today, not comparing ourselves among ourselves, but in some way God's allowed things to come into our life, and if bitterness didn't get us, maybe we've kind of held on to that suffering that God has allowed us to go through. And many of you have gone through things, and yet God's grace is always sufficient. Another enemy of joy, who I don't know any of us have felt this yet, that it might be coming. We read about it in Matthew chapter 5 in the Sermon on the Mount. The third enemy of joy can be persecution. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 5, verse 10, blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye. The word blessed means happy, joyful. It's actually even stronger than happy. Happiness leading to joyful. When men shall revile you and persecute you. Remember Paul and Silas in Acts 16? Why were they in jail? For preaching God's word. And yet the Bible says that at midnight, they weren't hoochie lip disease in it. They weren't kicking the dirt in the prison and wondering, why has God put us here? No, they were singing praises to God at midnight. Read about it this week. Acts chapter 16. And because of their testimony, by the way, that Philippian jailer got saved. That Philippian jailer's family got saved. And so when persecution comes to us, let us allow the grace of God to keep working the joy of the Lord in and through us. And those that are watching us, and they're not watching us, they're watching God work through us, they might wonder what it is that helps you have that joy in the midst of great difficulty. We have the reasons for joy, and there's many other enemies for joy, but I want to get to the third thought as we finish, the development of our joy. Quickly turn with me, if you will, in your Bible to James chapter 5. The development of our joy. the development of our joy. Okay, maybe our joy isn't what it ought to be. By the way, that's not God's fault. God has given us the Holy Spirit. There's no reason. So maybe you recognize one of these enemies that you're holding on to. Maybe God touched your heart about an enemy of joy in your life. Maybe you're not content with what God has given you, and you just always want more, and maybe that's the problem. I don't know what it is. There could be any number of things, but I like what it said in the Old Testament. When they got away from following God and followed the false gods, that's when he said, I recognized in you that gall. It came when we turned away from God. So maybe because you're away from God today, that is an enemy of joy in your life. So let's figure out a way that we can have the joy of the Lord once again. Now, did I say James 5?
Yes.
Okay, all right. James 5, verse 13. Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. One way that we can develop our joy is through singing. Turn with me to Psalm 100. Psalm 100. I love to sing. I hope you love to sing. Don't ever let the enemy steal your song. I don't know what your song is, but you ought to have a song. It doesn't have to be one in the songbook. You just have your own little song of praise unto the Lord. By the way, if you don't have one, just look in the book of Psalms. There's lots of them in here. You can choose one of these. Make it your song for the day. Psalm 100. Psalm 100. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with what?
Singing.
I remember many times through the years we would be at Brother Gord's house and we would have a prayer meeting over there, and he would say this verse. He would quote this verse, and if you men were there, you'd remember it. He would say, it says to come before His presence with singing. So men, before we start praying, let's sing a song. We would sing a song. And the one way when your joy level is low, but your joy level can rise, start singing a song. I think we've talked about it before. I love our hymn book. I love old hymn books.
Amen.
I love our hymn books.
Amen.
You ought to have one of these in your home. A Bible and a hymn book are two. Bible, obviously, King, Supreme, whatever. I'm putting the hymn book on level with the Bible. But if you have a library at all, a hymn book ought to be in your library. And when your joy level is not where it ought to be, pull that hymn book out of songs and hymns and spiritual songs. You may not know the tune, you may not know the melody, but just start humming whatever you want to hum to those, and reading those words, and let your joy level grow. Verse number three, know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people, the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving, into His courts with what?
Praise.
That's what a lot of singing is doing. We're praising the Lord. As we sang earlier, to God be the glory. I mean, aren't you glad today that God saw fit to bring the gospel into your path at some point in your life? I mean, when you're low and your joy is low, and you just think about that, I am a C. I am a CH. I am a CHRISTIAN. And I have CHRIST in my HEART. And I will LIVETRAY. Now, you may not be able to do that one. But I'm a Christian. I'm saved. I'll live eternally.
Amen.
You see, God never moves without purpose or plan. Aren't you glad God cares for you? The song says, He cares. I know He cares. His heart is touched. Though the days are weary, the long nights dreary, I know. And we sang it earlier, and He walks with me, and He talks with me. Hey, if your joy is down, you need to confess maybe about those things you talked about, but then you need to put something in replace it. Confession is wonderful to the Lord, but then replace that with something. One thing to replace that with is sin. Sin. Acts chapter 20, verse 24. The Bible says, but none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself. Second way that we can build our joy up is serving. Did you see what Paul said? Neither count I my life dear unto myself. I think many times in the Christian life, we look at our life and it is very dear to us. In other words, I will serve God as long as it doesn't infringe on my life. By the way, that's saying that your life is dear to you. No Christian should look at his or her life and say, I have nothing to give God. You know what? Everyone that is saved has something to give God. You don't have to be a pastor to give God something. Everybody in this room can give God something every day. Notice here what he says in Acts 20. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear to myself, so that I might finish my course with what?
Joy.
Paul says, I'm going to finish my course with joy if I don't get so infatuated with Paul. In other words, how can I spend some time today for God? You get up in the morning, and whatever time you get up, and you have so many waking hours, there's a lot of work in there, there's a lot of other things in there, but where's God in there? Paul says, I'm going to finish my life, I'm going to finish my course, and at the end of my life, I want to have this, no regrets or as few as possible. I don't know about you, but I'm striving for that. I know I'm not going to be where I want to be, but I'm striving that I finish my course not with wondering, what would it have been like if? No, let's figure that out now. Let's say now, I know that my joy level isn't what it ought to be. I know there's some enemies in my life. I'm going to get rid of those enemies, and then I'm going to replace those enemies. I'm going to be more of a sinning person. I'm going to be more of a serving person. Why? Because I want my joy level to be what God would want it to be. I want to finish my course with joy. In that same chapter, verse 35, Acts 20, 35. The Bible says there, I have showed you all things, how that so laboring you ought to support the weak, and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. We build up our joy through singing. We build up our joy through serving. We build up our joy through stewardship. A cold heart and a stingy hand go together. That's a quote by John Charles Ryan. Bob Hope, that great preacher. Bob Hope said, laughter is an instant vacation. Giving is a two-week cruise with pay. Now, you may not agree with me for using Bob Hope as a sermon, but I do like what he said. Give and it shall be given unto you. Everybody loves to receive, me included. What about giving? Giving brings joy. Giving brings joy. John D. Rockefeller Jr. said, the poorest man I know is the man who has nothing but money. How that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded in the riches of their liberality. For to their power I direct the day, and beyond their power they were living of themselves. 2 Corinthians 8:2-3. Those Corinthian Christians were poor, if you will. But they were joyful in their giving. As we conclude this through the Spirit today of joy, Christian joy only comes through salvation. So I ask you this. If you were to leave here today, you were to pillow your head tonight, go to bed, and not wake up anymore. That's what happened to Brother Moises' brother-in-law over in the Philippines. He'd been sick for a while. He knew the Lord, though. He knew the Lord. He went to bed one night. The next morning, he was to have surgery. Well, he doesn't need the surgery now. He went to heaven in his sleep. A dream for all of us, I would say. Go to bed, wake up in heaven. You know what? If you don't know Christ as Savior, and you die in your sleep,
You won't wake up in heaven. You won't wake up in purgatory. Because there is no one. You wake up in heaven. Don't leave here today if you do not know Christ as Savior.
Amen.
The best news you can hear is to be confronted. Listen, you may not like that or me or whatever. That's not the point. Your best friend is someone who confronts you with that message.
Yeah.
Are you saved? Do you know Christ as Savior? If you die today, would you go to heaven? If you don't know, can I take the Bible and show you? At least show you what the Bible says. I can't twist your arm. I'm not a salesman. But I can tell you what the Bible says. Many people here can tell you what the Bible says. We've even talked about already what the Bible says. How you can be saved. That's where joy comes. And we know that joy can be lost out of it. We read about the psalmist in Psalm 51. He said, "Restore unto me joy of thy salvation." Maybe your joy needs to be restored. Maybe there's something that's gotten been put in the way. Maybe something is an idol in your life. And you need to get rid of that idol. As I was preparing for this, the song that kept coming to mind was, "If you want joy, real joy, wonderful joy, let Jesus come into your heart. Your sins He'll wash away. Your night He'll turn to day. Your life He'll make it over and over. If you want joy, real joy, wonderful joy, let Jesus come into your heart." You're not saved. You're not saved. Dear Christian, your joy level is getting down to E. Let's remove the enemies. Let's get back to heaven.